Living on Earth needs your support to be heard each week. Kindly give what you can today by using the donate link to the left of this page. Thanks.
And here's another tale of who gets to live on polluted soil. It's the story of 3 acres of land and the community surrounding it. It's a part of New Orleans known as Gerttown. About 70 years ago, the Thompson Hayward Chemical Company bought the plot and set up a small operation mixing pesticides, often outdoors. Cane farmers bought the insecticides, and by the 1960s, plantations, exterminators, and even the federal government turned to Thompson Hayward for chemicals such as DDT, Aldrin, and the one locals call leaf drop, Agent Orange. But in the late 1980s, when Louisiana found the plant was dumping solvents into sewers, state authorities shut it down. And ever since, homeowners in Gerttown have hoped for a full cleanup. But as Living on Earth's Ingrid Lobet reports, they're still waiting.
Last fall, Louisiana reached a milestone. It hauled away the last poisonous soil from the old Thompson Hayward chemical site. Now cars on Earhart Boulevard speed past a stretch of fresh green grass.
It's gone very well. In fact, it's one of the success stories of DEQ and this administration.
Rodney Mallett is spokesman for the Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality. Hurricane Katrina slowed down his department's cleanup plans, but didn't stop them.
Something that has been a problem site and a concern for residents in New Orleans has been taken care of. That area right there is cleaned up to commercial use standards, and it hopefully will be put back in commerce by the city shortly.
But the pesticides drifted beyond the plant's perimeter to the yards and porches of the modest homes surrounding it. Johnny and Dorothy Leonard watched what went on there for 45 years.
From here, we'd see everything they'd done.
Sitting on the couch by the air conditioner, the Leonards vividly recall how forklift drivers held bags of dry pesticide high over huge outdoor mixing kettles.
Most of it was dry and it blew when they was mixing it. 50-pound bags or 100-pound bags. And they'd cut it and just pour it out. And quite naturally, the wind is blowing and taking it, you know. That's when it get bad. That's when you couldn't sit on your porch out there. You couldn't be outside, you know, because then it's stringing you, you know. You almost take your breath.
The Leonards raised 6 children in this home. Johnny Leonard worked at a Borden's Dairy for 20 years and then as an Amtrak porter for 20 more. Dorothy remembers with a smile when they owned a restaurant that sold buckets of sausage on weekends. But the heavy dust from the plant was always there, coating cars, walls, and windowsills.
That chemical smelled so bad. If you had your windows let up, you could smell the chemicals.
When they was mixing that stuff, you wouldn't dare put a window fan on because you know what that'll do. Just brought all that stuff inside. You just had to cage yourself up when it was going on because you couldn't sit outside and you couldn't put your fan on. So, yeah. And that went on for years, years.
One of their children, Robbie, now a 40-year-old drywaller, struggled with recurrent rashes and asthma.
So we'd be at the emergency room. They would clear it up. As soon as I get around here, that's when it flared back up, and we had to go back. It was terrible. That's how I went for years. My whole childhood life, yes.
Nearly all the residents of Gerttown are African American. No one can remember any survey of people's health here, but over the years, the pollution did attract the attention of some advocates.
My name is Wilma Subra. I'm a chemist, and I provide technical assistance to community groups dealing with environmental issues.
Wilma Subra created her own analytical chemistry lab in rural southern Louisiana in 1981. Her work is often controversial. Not long ago, Subra's husband watched as a vehicle cruised back and forth, then someone took a shot at the house. Subra pointed out the hollow in the brick beside the front door.
So I got a security person to come in. He said, put bulletproof glass on all the windows. Move all the computer stuff so you work in the back half. Don't work here after dark.
When Hurricane Katrina struck, Subra had already taken samples outside the Thompson Hayward site. Worried that the floodwaters would spread the contamination, she crossed police lines to get back to New Orleans.
I was out doing samples of that sediment sludge. Then EPA would come back and do additional sampling where I found the hot spots. If I hadn't been out there doing that kind of work, and if I wouldn't have had that data and then given that data to the community and then gone to the agency and saying, look what I found, no one would have ever sampled in that area.
The EPA did follow up, testing dirt at 9 sites in the neighborhood, including one a few steps from the Leonards' home. Subra photocopies the results she keeps in a file cabinet.
Now, as you see, there is off-site contamination based on EPA's data, and it extends over a block in each direction from the site. Chlordane exceeded the limit by 2.4 times. Now, chlordane has been banned from use in the United States. It's very persistent, very long-lasting. The DDT chemicals and their metabolites were 3.8 times over the acceptable limit at this one location. And then dieldrin was almost 40 times the limit. The issue here is very toxic, very persistent pesticides, very readily available for the community to come in contact with.
Living on Earth obtained the electronic records for 24,000 post-Katrina soil samples taken by EPA in Louisiana. Of the thousands of tests, the sample taken closest to the Leonards' front porch showed the very highest concentrations of several dangerous pesticides, the termite killer chlordane, DDT, dieldrin, endrin, and endosulfan. The EPA agrees the test results are over the threshold of concern, but it doesn't believe the neighborhood needs a cleanup. John Rauscher, the EPA toxicologist who assessed the risk, says the levels in Gerttown would cause fewer than one extra cancer in 10,000 people.
The pathway we looked at was a person living near those soils and routinely contacting those soils, including if a child were to contact those soils and do so on a routine basis. We look at a child inadvertently ingesting soil or eating soil. Children have fairly high soil ingestion rates from handling toys and putting their hands in their mouth. At this point, EPA does not have any evidence that would lead us to do any additional work.
That is, not unless the state of Louisiana requested it. But Rodney Mallett of the Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality says the state is not going to ask.
People say there's pesticides there. Well, there's pesticides there, but there's pesticides everywhere. And if you go to the up-end neighborhoods, higher-end neighborhoods, you're going to find a lot more pesticides because they're the ones who have the disposable income to take care of the yards, and they're big into taking care of the yards.
But common lawn treatments like Roundup aren't nearly as dangerous as the compounds found in Gerttown, such as DDT and chlordane. These insect killers build up in the body and have been banned for decades. Whatever Mallett says, records show they're not widespread in New Orleans. DDT wasn't found in most of the soils where experts looked for it after Katrina. In other words, Gerttown stands out. Mallett insists the soils pose no risk.
The pesticides that were found were typical background levels. That if it was going to be a health risk to someone, you would have to eat a liter of soil a day for 200 plus days for it to become a problem.
Yet, in fact, eating that liter of soil near the Leonards' home would put someone hundreds of times over the EPA level of concern for chlordane alone. Living on Earth showed the Gerttown soil test results to three California toxicologists. Michael Anderson assesses ecotoxicological risk for the state. He pointed out other ways people could be exposed besides eating soil.
If you add into that homegrown produce, if a person was to have a backyard garden, or if you add in the pathway of the ingestion of breast milk for an infant, the risks rise dramatically. The risks now go up almost two orders of magnitude.
Which means if the site were in California, the government response would likely be different.
If this was the information that we were given and we were confident in the data, we would recommend a remedial action.
You would recommend a remedial action?
Oh, yeah.
The other toxicologists agreed. Another toxicologist was even more blunt. Professor Marcus Issard used to teach in New Orleans and once gathered samples in Gerttown. Now he teaches toxicology at the University of Missouri, Kansas City.
There should be a large outcry. This type of chemical exposure is unacceptable, period. This could never happen in anybody else's neighborhood. This could not happen on the North Shore of the New Orleans residential area. This would never happen. And we're talking about a neighborhood where it seems that those who are in power have just abandoned.
At home in her living room, Dorothy Leonard says over the years, men have come several times and said her neighborhood would be cleaned up or that residents would be bought out, but nothing's come of it.
And they should have been did that. And they'll know that place over there was making the people sick around here. We couldn't even sit on our porch. With the doors closed, we could smell it in our house. With our windows, we could be driving in our car. Our windows could be completely up. We could smell it all the way in our car. They didn't care.
Whether they care or not, what's in the soil will stay there. Experts say the pesticides don't dissolve in water, and they're bound to the soil. For Living on Earth, I'm Ingrid Lobet.